Okay, what is the topic again? Everybody here, all right? Big power. Sukadeva Goswami spoke to 60,000 sages and didn't have any amplifier. And evidently everybody could hear it.
On the topic, adding value to the
movement. Adding value to the movement. Well, interesting topic. There's different ways to do that. The main way is to be a good devotee. Because for every good devotee, the movement becomes bigger and better. For anyone who actually takes up the, even just the basic regulated principles, but then if somebody breaches, then that's even better. But if we at least take up the chanting every day and telling everyone else, please try this, and following the four regulated principles, and then by honoring devotees, that's the main thing, serving the devotees. Lord Chaitanya says, Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan Dui Pabe Shigre Shri Krishna Charan. Anybody know what that means? You know Vaishnav Seva. Seva means service. Seva means you feel that the other person is very better than you and you want to serve him because of that. It's not like Daya means mercy. I'm superior, so I'll help this poor person. I'll feed the poor people. You know, I'll give a donation to the orphanage because I'm better. That's not seva. Seva means like we have guru seva, deity seva, like that. Vaishnava seva. Serving the devotees in a humble state of mind and Nama Sankirtan, everybody knows what that is. Chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. In the back we have that sloka that Prem Samputa always comes up with. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. Where is Prema today? You know? Huh? Where is Prem Samputa? He went for books or something? Huh? Really? All right. Maybe it's time to do more books. So, Vaishnava Seva Nama Sang Dui Pabe. Dui means two. Two, just by two things. Only these two things. And then Shigra means very quickly. And Shri Krishna, everybody knows what that is, right? Huh? Hope so. And Charana? You know Charana? Shri Guru Charana Padma? What does Charana mean? Huh? Charana. The feet. So very quickly you'll get the lotus feet of Krishna by Vaishnava Seva and Nama Sankirtan. And like Lord Chaitanya says, Srinadapi Sanichena Sororapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. In a humble state of mind, one can chant, so that's humble. Serving devotees, caring for devotees. Then we can make the movement much more nice. Many times devotees, they have stories, or they got sick, nobody cared for them. Prabhupada always did. Like one time, Shamsundar in Vrindavan, you know, he was there, Prabhupada was there, many devotees. And he got malaria so bad he couldn't move, and he was somewhere. And after a few days, Prabhupada said, where is Shamsundar? And they said, oh, he must be gone somewhere. He must be. And then Prabhupada said, go find him. And they found him almost dead, you know. He said, but we have to take care of devotees. Prabhupada was very caring, always concerned. That's why he signed all his letters. Your ever well wisher. Hoping this meets you in the best of health. Your ever well wisher. And when devotees said they were sick, he would give advice. He would tell the other devotees to take care of them. He taught by example so many times. So this is how we make the movement more attractive. People come and they see that, what, you're changing? How are you going to do it? Huh? Don't you have some tape? Huh? Hare Krishna. There we are.
Hare Krishna.
Don't have any. Don't have any tape? Wrapping tape? That'll probably fall off. So that's a good topic. We have a committee in the GBC called Devotee Care. Every temple, you know, many times if you ask the temple president, oh yeah, everybody's got what, everybody's completely happy, everybody has everything they need, then you ask the devotees, well, I haven't had a toothbrush, I don't have it, they won't give me money to buy soap, you know. So these things have to be taken care of by the leaders. And somehow medical, you know, checkups. I don't know if it's still true. I saw they were advertising once in Ghana. The government started some kind of health insurance, and it was so cheap. It was like 70 CDs or something. And I said, everybody, you should get that for everybody. I don't know if they did. I don't know if it's still so cheap either. Because, you know, when you get sick, the hospital bills can really go up fast. We never know, you know, we have car accidents, fortunately, only the car got hurt. It's too heavy. Now you broke this. It's too heavy. Both of them is too heavy. Yeah. I should have said that in the first place. I knew it. So, if everybody is thinking, like, I don't know, we had a little movie called A Simple Temple, came from Chopadi. Some Guru cool kids made it growing up. Yeah. So they just showed how that temple developed from almost nothing, from a really crummy room, and it just grew. But the basis that it grew on was the devotee center. The main concern was to take care of devotees, educate devotees for good sadhana, and for respecting other devotees, taking care of other devotees. So now that's like one of the biggest temples in the world. They have so many expansions, so many people in the ashram, brahmacharis. In order to even think about entering the ashram, they have to be graduate from the university. And then they say they have to work for 2 years, get a job. Then they can decide if they want to be brahmacharis and join the ashram, and they want to become grihastas. And many do. They get new people joining the ashram every year. So they're very, very fired up. But the beginning was not so nice. Devotees were stealing everything, fighting all the time. But they gradually got strict. But the mood was Radhana Swami just pushed for Vaishnava Seva, serving the devotees. He said, if everybody is thinking, I'm the lowest devotee here, then you have the Vaikuntha atmosphere. But if anyone is thinking, well, I'm the best devotee, everyone should be taking care of me, then we have a hellish atmosphere. Especially when everybody's thinking like that. Everybody's thinking, you know, for some reason I deserve more than the other devotee. Then it's no good. Or if somebody feels, oh, I'm low, that's no good. We should not in materially conditioned low. We should think, I should be serving the devotees. I'm very fortunate to be here. Then we can really make the movement, not only our own area, our own temple, but everything. And the more we just follow Prabhupada's program, morning program, japa, four regular principles, but then we have to be preaching it. If anybody who reads Prabhupada's books or listens to his talks, he just constantly saying, you know, our business is to preach. Prabhupada said, we have an obligation. The Vyasa, he wrote the Vedas, we have to distribute the Bhagavatam. He gave it to us. We are obliged. We cannot ignore that. But he wanted, you know, nice temples. We've got to keep the deities. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I asked him the last time I saw him, and unfortunately, I didn't have a recording device at the time. All the batteries were dead. I said, do you have any special message for the Africans? Because I was coming back. I just went there just to see him. And he said, first, do not quarrel amongst yourselves. He told me that he's been saying that ever since he came, but it never had any effect. I hope it's getting through now. And because Kali comes in whenever we're quarreling, and Kali comes, he's happy. That's what he wants. Then we open the door for Kali and Maya to come right in. Please come in. So then he said, take care of the deities. Serve the deities nicely. He said, we had a lot of trouble because of offenses to the deities. And then he said, distribute Prabhupada's books and preserve what we have. Some people are thinking that means the buildings. Of course, that's true, but he also meant the devotees, especially the devotees. Because the temple without devotees, what's the use? It's not just, the temple's not just a building. The temple is the devotees. And companies in America now, because there's all this, we call headhunting, you know, other companies are always trying to get the good people, offering them more money, telling them, you know, we'll give you this and that. So they have major concern is to keep the employees. So they're always thinking how to make the employees happy. The prophet, temple president, I can remember two specific things Prabhupada said when someone asked him, you know, I'm the temple president now, what does that mean? Prabhupada said, that means you have to make all the devotees happy. And another time he said, whatever goes wrong is your fault. If you're the temple president, everything that goes wrong is your fault. So you should try to make things right. Because everybody will blame you no matter who did it. Sometimes it's, you know, somebody else does some totally crazy thing and, you know, the temple president has no idea about it, nothing. He gets the blame. The other person gets away. So that's all our duty. You're to make all the devotees happy. If everybody's trying to make whoever happened to be with, trying to make, and we try to make everybody happy we meet by giving them the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This morning we were getting some coconuts and one fellow came. Looked like a quite well-to-do guy. And he had that life comes from life in his hand. So I said, oh. And he just, I think somebody asked him, did you read it? He said, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in it. I thought he was trying to give it back. Then he said, I'm going to read it. Whether he's reading it to find out what's wrong with it, we don't know. But sometimes those people, they read the book just to find what they can be against, and then they get purified. But he was, I said, you're very intelligent, because he was going to read it. He wasn't just rejecting it, you know. Some people just won't even touch it. No, I don't believe in this God, you know. I don't believe in your God, you know, I have my God, you know. That means they don't know much about God, that there's so many different gods. There are different demigods, but the Supreme God is only one. So, but we have to be very friendly to everybody. And the charity starts at home. So, you know, it's very loving to all the devotees. Just like people are a mother with their baby. To be like that with everybody. More tolerant than a tree. And humbler than a blade of grass. and devoid of false prestige. That's what it means, offering all respects to others. False prestige, I'm very special. I was initiated before all these other devotees. I'm older. I have more money. I sold more books. Whatever it is, we think, you know, I'm better. Right? It's very dangerous. We shouldn't think, oh, I'm no good, anything like that, but we should think, I have to serve because the others are great. And as a servant of the great person becomes very happy. They get everything that the master has without having to worry about it. You know, they live in the same house, they eat the same food, they drive the car, everything. They don't have to worry about, about losing everything. Servant can be very happy. So Lord Chaitanya, you know, he wanted to serve Krishna, because that's even higher than being Krishna, better. And Krishna says serving the devotees. So that's something that we all work on that, everybody. Thinking, how can I help to serve devotees? How can I, especially like, if we see one temple president, very old temple president in America. He was temple president in New Vrindavan back in Prabhupada's time. And he said, as soon as you're temple president, you have a target on your back. Everyone, and it's not that everybody's trying to throw you some donation. Everybody's trying to knock you out. And the nature of Kali Yuga is that if somebody comes and says, oh, let me tell you, just like all the newspapers, such, especially Nigeria, but India and Nigeria, but everywhere, so much details of the corruption of some government person. And, of course, they're corrupt. All government is in Kali Yuga. You can read the Bhagavatam chapter, 12th candle, chapter 3. You know, that everyone is corrupt, everything is degraded, everything is bad. You get a more clear picture there than from reading all the news. Because they just make up the details. Try to make it sound as exciting as possible. So then everybody's just fighting and hating each other and for whatever reason, putting down religion, putting down this religion, that religion, this politics, that politics, this country, that country. This tribe, that tribe. Kali Yuga. So the way to avoid Kali Yuga is by, of course, always chanting the holy name and following the regulative principles. Then your door is locked and Kali can't get in. Maya can't get in. And if we don't chant around, we're just blabbering away, watching television, then Maya comes right in to watch, because television is all Maya. There's one very famous business advisor. He's all the biggest companies in the world call him to try to inspire their leader and even the presidents of the companies. So he sends out these different things. And he said, you know, one thing he said, most television is poison. It's deadly. But, you know, we think, well, it's nice. Maybe there's something good. But we have to concentrate, how can we help myself to be a better devotee? The best preaching is happy devotees. When we go on Harinam and everybody's smiling and dancing, people want to see, well, what's going on there? If you just walk in Hare Krishna, everybody thinks, you know, they're being tortured or something. Why are they forcing those poor people to march? And when they see it's really a blissful, people want to know, what are they doing? Why, you know. They may not jump in and join us. Some places they do, but they are attracted to happy devotees. When people come to the temple, devotees are very happy. Then, you know, people, and welcoming everybody that comes. I wish I could be, but Bhakti Tirthamaraj had, it was genuine, but anyone he talked to, they feel like, he didn't care about anything except them. Right? So you naturally feel like, I'm really special. Because he really loves people. You can't fake that. But we can try to, you know, want to be like that and desire. And when a guest comes, you know, I'm going to try to take care of them. You know, see how to help them. Have somebody that would keep the store open so people can come in, you can talk, you can look at all the books. You know, not that you just find an empty place, nobody's around. There's many temples that get like that. One devotee, nobody picked him up at the airport. And he telephoned the temple and he said, I knew I had the right number because nobody answered. That's another famous thing of the devotees in America. Nowadays they have a recording, you know. I don't know if you have those here. Like when you call an airline or something. Yeah, if you know the extension, press 1. If you want to know our daily program, press 2. If you want this, press 3. If you want this, press 4. And or they'll say, the companies will say, you know, it'll give you a number when you look on their web page or something. And, but they're always closed. There's nobody in. So we want to be on the ball. We want to be thinking how to make it. When the devotees are all happy and felt protected and cared for, Ramanuja Prabhu, you all know him, so he told me long ago when he was first in the temple, he got really, really sick. And this was like 20 years later, but he's still crying, nobody take care of me. Never forget that. If somebody does take care of you, never forget that either. You know, somebody, so, you know, serving the devotees isn't that hard. If you just say, how are you for good morning, you know, how are you? You know, are you all right? Do you need anything? And, you know, just like you'll treat your own children or something, at least when they're very small. See everybody like the way Krishna sees them, the way Guru sees them. And the Guru loves all the devotees. So, Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. The one who says he's a devotee of my devotee, he's a devotee. So that's what he means. Vaishnava Seva, serving the devotees. We call it devotee care. And devotees like that. They get excited to think about what can we do. And many temples have made caring committees. And I know the Christian churches, they must do that here too. They have a team, like usually ladies, because many times the lady's not working. And if anybody in the congregation gets sick, or anybody gets in, you know, they immediately go to their house and clean the house for the woman while she's trying to take care of her husband, you know, cook, do everything. And so that they love the church, right? Even though they might not get any philosophy, anything.
Somebody did a survey in America of churches, and they said that the Hare Krishnas have the, by far the most philosophy, the highest philosophy. But their way they treat each other is a lot worse. The churches that have no philosophy, but they really brotherly love, you know, they flourish. And we have to think like we're one big family, you know, Krishna's the father of everyone. We say Prabhu. I don't know if you say that here. Do they call that Prabhu and Mataji? Kind of an issue with me. It's not correct. Mataji is correct. That's the proper thing to call any woman. A man should address every woman as mother. But Prabhu means master. So Prabhupada told everybody we should call everybody Prabhu. Every devotee. He didn't say just the man. So somehow or other, ISKCON has changed the meaning of the word Prabhu to mean man. And naturally many of the men think, yeah, I'm the master. Now a wife should call the husband Prabhu. But the husband's supposed to call the wife Devi. Goddess. That's Vedic culture. They never say the name. The husband and wife don't call each other by name. It's too familiar. Prabhu and Devi. I know only my one godbrother, Shankarshan Prabhu. He's an initiating guru. He has a web page called the Ultimate Self-Realization or something. It's got thousands of people on it. You know, learning Bhagavad Gita.
So he always calls his wife Devi, and she always calls him Prabhu. And they travel all over the world and preach. They both preach.
So that's the proper thing. But to just, like, I was at one Rath Yatra, and they made an announcement. Prabhu's over here, and Mataji's over there. And I was thinking, what about me? You know, I'm a Das. So why can't we say Dasas and Dasis? That's male and female. But Prabhu is not male. Prabhu is Prabhu, master. So some of my god sisters, they can't stand that because, you know, these guys go, no, Prabhu is only for men. And it's in Sanskrit, you know, grammar. But these particular women like Malati and a few others, Prabhupada often said, Malati Prabhu, Jamuna Prabhu. So they can't stand it. Somebody can't, you know, you have to say Mataji. Prabhupada said, if you call everybody, he never called a woman like, hey, Mataji. Respectful. He'd usually call them by her name, but there's even many letters where he said, even Alice Prabhu or something, you know, she can go here and somebody Prabhu can go there. So it's just that I'm trying to bring it up everywhere, but the men don't want to change that. They like it. Well, I am Prabhu, Prabhupada said. He didn't say only men are Prabhu. You should see everyone as Prabhu. Every living entity, every other person, not even, you know, because Krishna's in their heart. So the Mahabhagavat thinks everybody is better than him. And the Mahakanishka, the lowest devotee, thinks, I'm the only devotee. There's no other devotee except me. So I don't have to go out. I can't preach because everybody's stupid. And I don't have to go, you know, to the temple because they're all fake. The devotees in the temple are just faking it to get free prasadam. And I have my own puja at home, and there's nobody like me. That's the Kanishka, the lowest of devotees. The highest of devotees, the Mahabhagavat, he thinks, I'm the lowest. I'm not even a devotee. Everyone else is a devotee except me. Not just a devotee. Every other person, everyone's a better devotee than me. Everyone's serving Krishna better than me. That's the real Mahabhagavat. Prabhupada sometimes revealed that nature. I saw it one time. He was speaking class, and he said, Krishna sent me many gurus. So we were, I think everybody, but it became quiet for, it seemed like a long time. And, you know, what does Prabhupada mean, many gurus? And we only know one guru, him. And he only had one guru. He said, my disciples. And he was serious. He saw his disciples as his gurus. But he still had to act as a guru. Tell us what to do and what not. What are you going to take notes from? Is that what that's for? Okay. Hare Krishna. So we want to make, we can start to make the whole movement better. You know, our temple, one temple is not the whole movement, but it's part of it. We have to make our one part better, then everything becomes better. Right? Other people will see the example of, you know, the example of somebody that's really good. Where new people are coming, people are staying, devotees want to tell their friends you should come to the temple. And when you have a Sunday program, everybody goes home thinking, I can't wait to go back there. I never ate such good food in my life, you know. It was like that when I joined the Sunday feast with like 13, 14 things. I know the devotees know how to do it because last year at the end of Kartik they made a feast. They know how to make it. It takes money. But it's worth it. Make a little investment. You know, you have to spend money to make money. Look how much the Star Beer advertises. Right? Why do they do that? Because they get money for it. Make people buy more beer, you know. Otherwise, they'll buy the other one. People forget very quickly. So that means we have to get out on Harinam. We have to let people see us. Try to keep Tilak as much as possible. So people, they know. Well, they don't always, even if they don't know Hare Krishna, they will get it But they get benefit anyway just by seeing Tilaka. But, you know, and if we're chanting, you know, our rounds nicely and following the principles, then we'll be very happy if we're trying to serve devotees. Everybody takes a humble state of mind, like it's supposed to be in, you know, that the most advanced devotee serves herself. Older devotees serve their prasadam. So the young devotees learn that when you advance, you become a servant instead of thinking, I can't wait till I get older so I can serve. And I try to teach, like, when the guru is giving out prasad, the children first. The men always push ahead. It's supposed to be prasad in Vedic culture, it's supposed to be women and children first. But because the men, when they were children, they got pushed out of the way. So they were thinking from childhood, when I get big, I'm going to be in front. And I'm going to push everybody else out of the way. So we don't want to train people like that anymore. We want to train them to serve. You know, treat everybody very, very nicely. Encourage the youth. Because, you know, we're having a lot of children. So we want to encourage youth, we want them to stay. And this is not only in our society. Here, I see quite good that so many devotees, children, they're devotees. That's very auspicious, very good. But I saw one magazine, it was especially for Christian pastors. And the main issue, that issue was how to keep people in the church, how to keep the youth in the church. Because they have so many youth, they don't want to come to church anymore. So the idea was give them service, be nice to them, let them greet the guests on Sunday, let them do something, bring them, make them part of the family, don't just leave them out, let them lead the kirtan. We have many things we can do. And thinking also how to control the mind is to think how to distribute the holy name. If everybody is also thinking, well, how can we distribute the holy name? How can we put it in more places so when people go past the temple, they see it? How can we make the sign out front attractive? The sign on the road. It's Radha and Krishna's picture. I pointed that out, but it's not proper to have that out on the highway. Radha and Krishna. People don't understand when they see that. They get all wrong ideas. It looks like the magazine cover of the movie star. That's what they'll think. So, and it doesn't have, you know, it should be something that attracts their attention and it has the mantra big, so they go, Hare Krishna, you know, Gauranga. So they get that, you know, impact. And to think, if anybody has a car, if they can put the mantra on the back of the car, thousands of people see it every day. Many different ways. Of course, the most powerful way is just to get out on Harinam. If somebody is going on Harinam, do it, and you can't go, do whatever you can to help them. Make sure they eat nicely. Make sure the temple's nice. So they're happy to go out, happy to, when they come back, everybody's, you know, happy that they went out. There's so many simple things we can do. It's Prabhupada's society. We keep Prabhupada in the center. That means doing what he told us to do. Keep it simple. They have a saying that one American, he was in charge of the army for a while, Colin Powell. And then he was the Secretary of State. Then he became a business talker. He said, you have to follow the KISS principle. K-I-S-S. You know what that means? Keep it simple, stupid. Don't get things too complicated. You know, make a straight line. Decide what you're going to do. Don't list off 100 things you're going to do and then never do any of them. Better to find one thing that you can actually do it and do that, and then find another thing and do that. You know, as far as big projects for the temple. And as much as, you know, we start to grow our own food more, we'll be happy. That's good work for people. And for a householder, farming is the most noble occupation. Nowadays, the propaganda is farming is for stupid people. I was brought up like that. We just to insult someone with "you farmer," you know. And when you see the farm kids come in the city, oh, look at them, you know. But everybody loves to eat, and they don't even realize that the farm, you can't eat without farming. Whenever you eat, you owe so many farmers, because they work to grow that food. You're indebted to them. But to offer to Krishna, ideally we grow our own. Then we have much better quality things to offer. Grown by with chanting, everything grown up like that. So it's very nice to see this group here, and I hope you can do this more often. Everybody had fun in the water, huh? I've been there a long time, right? Swimming or whatever you were doing, not really deep enough to swim. It's very refreshing and purifying in the ocean. And you heard the gopis crying for Krishna. And you did Harinam. Tomorrow I'll go with you on the Harinam. Tomorrow. And the Harinam is, for our own sake, one of the most purifying, you know. Chanting Kirtan and Harinam, as far as I'm concerned, has much more benefit than sitting down in the temple. We want to do both, but we're chanting in the temple to get more faith and more taste for the holy name so we can give it out nicely. As much as we can join the Harinam, go out. Prima Sambhuti even goes by himself sometimes. I've done that in Japan for years because nobody's around, no devotees. But I talk about going by myself, but I never did. I go for book distribution, but one day I just said, okay, I'm going to do it, and I did it. It was the most blissful Harinam I ever did. Yeah, then I did it many times. And then sometimes another person would join me. I'm forced to really concentrate on chanting. You can't do anything else. But, and people are attracted. They think, what is it? Why would somebody do that? Let me go in, and then they ask me for the cards. We need cards like this. This one's kind of a fancy, expensive one, but some kind of card you can give people. The mantra, we have to promote the mantra. That helps our movement also. The more people we tell them about the mantra and tell them to please try it, make this prayer. Well, I was coming to Ghana once on the airplane from Europe, I think. And there was one man, usually I'm the only non-African on the flight. Nobody looks at me, nobody pays any attention. They're all busy buying, you know, perfume and stuff. And this guy was completely friendly. And he started telling me all about, you know, I was born in Ghana, but now I live in New Jersey and I'm doing this and that. I was like, wow, why is it? And when the plane stopped, you know, he got my bag down for me. And he said, I met a Hare Krishna, like, it was 20 years before, he said. And the devotee gave him some piece of paper, some card with a mantra. Said, I still have it. I have it in my wallet. Whenever I get in trouble, I say that prayer. I told him, well, you're always in trouble. No, I didn't say that. I just said, you don't even have to be in trouble. That's good. And devotees realize we're always in trouble, so they're always chanting. But anyway, because I'm always telling anybody, give the card. And devotees, often they don't. Yeah, you know. But the card is something people keep these kind of things and stick it in there somewhere. And they don't forget it. So they have the mantra. And then he was chanting it, so that's why he was so funny. Nobody else ever looked at him. It's very powerful. Like when you give a book, if you take a few minutes to tell the people and chant the mantra, it's very powerful. It makes it much more connected. You know, And they'll immediately think, wow, that's great, you know. Thank you. Sometimes people have trouble in the beginning, thinking, Hare Krishna. Sometimes you start with Rama, it's easier for people. Rama's easier. Gauranga. I found out I was in Poland and, you know, this big hippie festival. And so people come in, we were chanting until like 2 in the morning, and they dance like crazy, and the devotees were... So I tried to get them to chant. Not so many would chant Hare Krishna. He said, Gauranga! And everybody, Gauranga! 3 or 4 times. And then I said, Hare Krishna, everybody chant. Very powerful. But, you know, that's... Somehow or other, we want to get people and get people to say the holy name. So devotees are going for books. You can make a card with only one side, cheap paper, not very expensive. Or stamp it in the books, you know, in front of the book. Try it. Say this prayer, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So if we're all thinking, how can I serve? What can I do for you? What can I do for the temple? What can I do for the movement? Not what can the temple do for me. What can the devotees do for me? People are thinking like that. We all sometimes think like that. But we want to be humble. What can I give? What can I do? What can I offer? What service can I do? How can I do more? And there's many, many things you can do that aren't big things. Like somebody is planting flowers, or that Krishna likes flowers, it has a good smell. Right? Nectar devotion, it says, it's an offense to offer a flower without a smell. In Kali Yuga, sometimes it's very hard to find a flower with a smell. In Japan, only in certain seasons. But like these marigold flowers, they grow really easy, and you'd be amazed in Dubai. Dubai's a desert, a real desert, you know. And all along the highway is like this wide yellow marigold for miles. And they have to run a hose all along, you know, dripping all along to water. They have to take the water out of the ocean, take the salt out. Then they use that water, and then the drain water, they purify that a little bit and use it for them. And they have flowers everywhere. And grass. He said they get the grass from Nigeria. I said, I never saw grass in Nigeria. Although I did see some at the TV station the other day. They grow it somewhere and sell it. But they grow flowers. They want to make their city look beautiful. So Krishna likes flowers. And this climate, like India has this climate, they have so many different kinds of flowers. You know, outside our temple in Vrindavan, there's about 10 people with a table piled up with garlands. All like the smell is so strong. But because they like flowers. The mode of goodness. So now somebody here is starting to grow flowers. That's great. Grow some food. Get more different kinds of flowers. And offer to Krishna, then we'll feel very happy because Krishna will be happy. And when someone brings around the flower, it's really weird to smell a flower that doesn't have any smell. And you're supposed to be smelling the nice thing that was offered to Krishna. But the marigolds will grow, they have a nice smell and they grow very easy. But I thank everybody for doing that. You can make little things. Just think. Fix nice strings on the cartel. So they look beautiful and they're not cutting your finger off. You know, so many things we can do. Main thing though is you're thinking, what can I do to make life better for devotees? We get a little inspired, there's going to be a festival, foreign devotees are coming, gotta make everything nice for them. You know? But for the local devotees, we don't think about it. But the local devotees benefit then after things get fixed up. that we should be always thinking. Then you can make everything better. You can make yourself better. The body's always thinking, how can I chant better? How can I read better? How can I read more? How can I preach more? How can I learn to cook better if you're a cook? How can I learn to fix the car better, take care of the car, Krishna's car, Krishna's house, Krishna's devotees? You know, devotees, they belong to Krishna. They're all dear to Krishna. So if we treat them all very special, Krishna will be very happy. So, that is... Any questions? Any questions? Comments? Thank you, Chanyagya. Thank you. I heard you organize this. I thought about it. Your idea? Very good. Everybody's like this festival? Say, Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Three times, Hare Krishna, loud.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!
Prasadam is all right? It's late this morning. And it's better when you wait longer, it's better, right? Krishna. Yeah?
Hare Krishna. Madam, I want to ask you what makes a devotee deviate from devotional service and make the chanting very difficult for you?
Vaishnava Parada. The main thing. As soon as you make offense, the first thing is you lose your taste for chanting. This is described in the Harinam Chintamani. And you get interested in sense gratification because you're not chanting. But it, basically the main offense is Vaishnava Parada. Criticizing devotees is called the mad elephant offense. There's nothing more fearful in the jungle or in the village than a mad elephant, more than a lion or tiger, an intoxicated, crazy elephant. They can knock down your house, they can trample everything, you know, you can't stop them, even if you have to have a special gun to kill an elephant, not just any gun will work. But If you have a garden and an elephant goes in your garden, and it's finished, right? Well, they will tear up the bushes if they're big enough to eat, they'll trample everything. So the Vaishnava Parada, the blaspheming devotees, that means unnecessarily criticizing things that aren't even true, but even just criticizing things that are true. A very advanced devotee would not even want to do that. You don't want to hear anything, even if it's true. You don't want to hear bad about a devotee. The problem is when we're managing, we have to sometimes do that. We have to criticize, chastise, we have to correct, but we have to do it with love, like a parent. A child, if you're lovingly trying to guide them for their own good, they don't mind if you correct them a little bit. But if you're just angry, then it doesn't work. So that's it. There's many other offenses, but that's the main one that gets us started. You know, when we first come to the temple, we're thinking, oh, everybody's great, but after all, this one, I saw this, this and that. This one did this, I don't like that. And then, so if one dwells on that, it doesn't change. We might come to Krishna consciousness in the first place because, you know, we're criticizing the material life of society. We have a propensity to see what's wrong. But if we don't change that propensity and we come into the society of devotees, after we're just in the society of devotees for a while, we just start to criticize the devotees. And then, bam, gone. Krishna throws around. We don't like to chant anymore. And then we start to think, well, this devotee is, you know, he did this, that's why I don't share. The GBC, they did this, that's why I can't follow the principle. They're really stupid. And they get on the internet and tell everybody. But, so that's the main reason why someone gives it up. Can be other offenses also. And people come for different reasons. So they may come for material motivation, and then either they get, you know, what they want and think, I don't have to do it anymore, or they don't get what they want and think, what's the use? They're coming to... But, you know, other, it works sometimes differently. I don't know if you've been to Bombay, my godbrother Hari Das. He's a very hard worker now. He has a TV and he's broadcasting all over the world and recording so many things. And, you know, you can get darshan. I saw somebody had it on their phone. You can get darshan at the Bombay Temple on your phone. He's arranged all that. So before, he was like a poor boy, he was a thief. And he was in and out of jail. In fact, he used to try to go to jail to get free food and shelter. So either while he was in the jail or somehow he saw Back to Godhead magazine, the Prabhupada's picture, and he saw the big watch, and he thought, I'm going to steal that watch. He got out of jail, he went to where the devotees were, they had moved to Juhu, and very far more. He walked all the way there, and the devotees gave him shelter. You know, at that time there were very few devotees, and so he was around the temple because Prabhupada wasn't there, waiting for Prabhupada to come. But he got purified, you know. And then he met Prabhupada. And he's a Bengali talking to Prabhupada. And he told him, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, but I came in the first place to steal your watch. Prabhupada said, you don't have to. I'll give it to you if you ask me. You don't have to steal it. So he got purified and now become a very honest, hardworking devotee who promotes chanting so much. It's the original reason for coming. But, you know, Chatur Vidava Jantima come for different reasons. So people that come just because they need money or just because they're in distress, they get relief, they might leave. Because they weren't really practicing bhakti yet. But then later, when they need money again, they might remember, oh yeah, I went and I served Krishna and everything got better. Eventually they'll understand that, yeah, I need Krishna. That's what I really need. I don't need the other thing. But the main thing, we have to be very careful with Vaishnava Aparad. We recite the offenses. If you know Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was very careful and never criticized the devotees. Sometimes it was frustrating. There was one devotee here in Africa that was really, really bad. And I couldn't, you know, but he acted nice. And I asked Maharaj, why nobody likes him, and he wouldn't really say. I didn't know the real reason. So I went on, like, kind of liking him until I found out. He is very careful. Better to practice glorifying devotees, you know, serving devotees, than we naturally want to offend devotees. One Satsarup Maharaj was giving a lecture on initiation. Initiation, you talk about the 10 offenses. So he said, one should not blaspheme the devotee. And he said, this means the pure devotee, the guru. Prabhupada stopped him. He said, no, any devotee. Any devotee. And ultimately, the Mahabhagavat thinks everyone is a devotee. He's always trying to be careful to every living entity. All right? Practice, that's why I say, practice serving devotees, looking for the good. Encouraging devotees by giving them encouragement, by telling them you did good. Krishna told his friends, you're dancing very nicely, you're singing very nicely. And they told Krishna, you're also playing your flute very well. Alright?
Hare Krishna, Guru Dev. My second question is, this year was This year is a very bad year for devotees, especially when we lost three powerful who used to save our very friendly. The three powerful devotees that we lost in Nigeria.
Yeah.
One Mataji and two Prabhuji.
Yeah.
I was true. Wondering why Krishna takes them out of the service in prematurely, because they are not old enough to be taken away. Can you explain why Krishna takes them out of the service? And
no.
We at the back feel very bad and very sorry. Hare Krishna.
Well, Krishna has his idea. We can't understand Krishna. So, of course, in one thing is it gives us more to do. We have to try to make up for it. It might make us... Unfortunately, we tend to appreciate people after they leave their body instead of before. So we should learn to appreciate devotees before they leave. But so whether it's their karma, you know, everybody has a certain lifespan before when they're born. So that might be one reason, right? Otherwise, Krishna wants them somewhere else. We don't know all that. We can't say why Krishna does that. But whatever he does, it's not like Krishna personally takes them away either. In the case of Aniruddha and Ananda Kirtan, we don't want to blame them, and we don't want to... Everybody has their time. Bhakti Tirthamaraj also was young. So, I mean, my daughter asked me, why would someone like him get cancer? You know, because we think it's a simple reaction, but many devotees get cancer. And he just took it as, you know, final purification to burn up all, you know, any lingering karmas or anything that he had. He took it very blissfully, but we can't say we know exactly what Krishna does. But in this particular case is something, we've lost many, many devotees in car accidents. And mostly it was because of careless driving, falling asleep, driving too fast. So as far as I know, that was definitely a factor here. So not that maybe, you know, if they did some other way, Krishna would take them away. But we should be very careful. If we're driving. I remember Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, so two devotees that were in Arizona, maybe 600-700 miles away, they wanted to see Prabhupada. So they were driving all night in mountains, big mountains. They had to cross this big mountain. And they fell off the mountain. One left his body, and the other one, his body became broken, so many broken bones. So that Bhagavatam class that morning, Prabhupada heard about it. He was crying, you know, and he said, you know, to lose a devotee, we put so much work to get a devotee. But he told the leaders that when he met with devotees, no one should drive after 10 o'clock at night. No one should drive over 100 kilometers an hour. He's very strict about that. And they were trying to drive all night. I don't know. I think these boys were trying to drive all night. They were in a hurry to get back for the funeral. They had gone all the way to Abuja. And so they were tired. And they were going fast also, trying to pass the bus. And he ran right into a lorry. And we're not, you know, we have to be very, very careful. Driving is very dangerous. And we had that accident here. You know, we were lucky only the van got hurt. You know, Krishna saved the devotees in that case. So we don't know why Krishna, we can't say why.